Tell me when to go.
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 Hour number two, Puck with you until 1 o'clock inside the Ballpark Realty Studio, ballpark-realty.com. Give Jerry a call at 206-510-2749 for all your real estate issues and questions up north. He made a $750 donation to the Ronald McDonald House last week. He's been our studio sponsor here for the past 5 days. We'll open it back up today at 12:30. We have raised in total $15,750 for the Ronald McDonald House. We've been doing it for the last few months. We have not had a permanent studio sponsor, so we thought while sales is working on that, we would raise money for a great cause. We've done that. I think our goal is $20,000. We'll see if we can get there, and we'll open it back up today at 12:30. All right, VenueKings.com quickly brings you the headlines. Mariners back at it later today as they wrap up their series with the Houston Astros. Obviously, the big story, the Kendall Graveman trade yesterday. They did acquire a starting pitcher in a separate deal with Pittsburgh, Tyler Anderson. We'll wait and see if they've got any more moves up their sleeves here before the deadline coming up at 1 o'clock on Friday. Starling Marte has been acquired by the Oakland Athletics, the team that Seattle's trying to chase. For Jesus Luzardo, back in 2019, Luzardo, left-hand pitcher, was the A's number one prospect in their organization. He has struggled. Maybe there's some doubt creeping in whether or not he is still that level of player. But they did acquire Marte, and for a frugal franchise, they have picked up, I think, a portion of his salary there as well. So, again, an organization that does not like to spend. Acquiring an outfield bat that can play all three positions, gets on base, steals bases, all of that. So making a push there, a rental player. Also, the Kraken, according to all reports, have signed a goaltender, Philip Grubauer. Six-year deal, $6 million. All I can think about is Gruber from Die Hard. The villain. Every time I see
Hans Gruber.
Every time I see the name, this Grubauer, I think of Hans Gruber. Reading here, says is a consistently good but not great starting goalies. Ian will have it all, breaking it all down coming up at 1 o'clock because Ian has been known for the last few weeks to be the Philip Grubauer show of record. Joining us right now here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline for his weekly visit, all brought to you by John Howie Steak. From Root Sports, the good-looking, the talented, Brad Adam joins us right now, who just had his daughter celebrate a birthday last week. Happy sweet 16th to his daughter. And they celebrated John Howie. What a wonderful night.
It was fantastic, Puck. We went in and, you know, we're a little bit of a circus. And we get a middle table, and I didn't want that. I wanted a booth. But we go and, you know, a couple of drinks get spilled. It's a mess all over the table. We're loud. We got a kids menu. We're making things difficult. But the food was fantastic, and we enjoyed it. Yeah, I said, you know what, girls, just
live it up.
Do whatever you need to do. Live it up.
Did you get the
kids menu? You can order off the kids menu, or you can get something real. And my 16-year-old got like lobster bisque and a lobster mashed potatoes. I'm like, oh my gosh! Hey. At one point, Puck, I got my little spoon and I'm eating her bisque and leaning over eating. And the waiter sees that and he's like, "You want me to just bring you a soup spoon, dude?" I'm like, "No, I'm good. This little spoon will work."
Come on, this is a respectable. This is a respectable restaurant.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's like, come on, dude. If you're going to keep eating it, let me give you a soup spoon. I'm like, all right. Yeah. But it's good. Dessert and everything. They did a nice job. And, you know, they brought out a piece of cake for the birthday, and the waiter kind of got us started singing, and then he left. So there's no singing there, as we predicted.
No flair. No buttons. No flair. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Okay.
But it was good, very good. Enjoyed it.
Help me out.
And the girls were like, "Hey, I want to come back." I'm like, "I know you do, honey, but you know, once a year is good."
Yeah, that's it. It's all daddy can afford. Not until the Kraken start, and then waiting for that GNAC check.
Maybe a little Big Sky side change. Yeah,
that's a Big Sky. Okay, why?
Let's talk Big Sky.
Just why? Just why?
What else can we talk about?
Just why?
What do you want to talk about?
Why?
Yeah. I think we're still asking that question, but I think that we need, and what Jerry said yesterday, and I think that we need to just wait and see what their plan is and what the future moves are that they're planning to make, hoping to make. Even Jerry admitted it yesterday. It did not make sense, and nobody understood the move yesterday. So going forward, you know, you bring in Tyler Anderson, you get a starter, you're like, okay, but why did you still have to give up Graveman? Perhaps if they acquire a closer, it will make sense. If future moves, you know, by Friday afternoon, I think that at least Jerry hopes that the players and the fans understand what they were trying to do for this season and beyond. That's what we've got to kind of think about, I think, right now.
No, and I do, and we touched on this earlier. I mean, I do think it's a good point to say, you know, let's wait until Friday at the deadline at 1 o'clock and let's see what other moves, certainly, that he has up his sleeves. I mean, I think that is one area that I would agree with him on. But I also would say that we touched on that we in this business, but even fans, are asked to react immediately to something. And, you know, I don't know. I just think that that's not reading the room and reading the public and reading the community, the baseball community, that after your biggest win, you trade a guy that is so immensely popular inside that clubhouse. I just, to take the player side of it for a second, I can just imagine, you know, how deflating that is. You know, the players, guys don't want to hear about next year. You know, they want to win now, and they've got guys that haven't won. And so when they trade a guy that is so instrumental in helping them win, I would hope that Jerry would understand the frustration and ownership would understand that as well.
Yeah, I would hope so too. You're right. They put themselves in a unique position. You know, with that win, the best win of the year, you're a game back, you beat the Astros, things couldn't be better the way you're playing and the belief and the confidence. And then the timing of the trade was difficult, obviously. And then to trade him to Houston, a team that, as we've seen the last two nights, what do they need? They need bullpen help. Mm-hmm. And they just got it with Montero and Graveman. And Montero has not been good at all for Seattle. But if he figures things out, you know, he's still got quality stuff. And Graveman has been fantastic. So you now have Graveman probably setting up for Presley, their all-star closer. And that's, that's pretty impressive for Houston. So it was kind of a double-edged sword, I think, for Mariners fans. And then also the position they were in. I mean, they just took 3 of 4. They beat Houston. You know, they're 9 games over .500. Everybody's believing in what they're doing. Talk before was, yeah, you know, if we're not in it, we're going to probably trade and sell Mitch Haniger, Kemba Graveman, others. Then the talk was, man, we're in this. We're going for it. There was no talk of selling. It was all add, buy. And then this happens, and I think the players were as you saw, genuinely stunned and, devastated and just disappointed and again, not being explained kind of what this move meant, I think hurt them as well. And you know, going forward, kind of like us, they're just going to have to see and trust Jerry and that, you know, the team will get better by Friday.
Yeah, and that's the other element of it as well. I mean, you've been around baseball and around this team organization for a very long time. I mean, I think the GM of any team doesn't need to be best friends with the players. In fact, it's probably wise that they're not, because they've got to make very tough decisions on the players. And it's uncomfortable, and I think the players understand that. But there is also, I think, a fine line of respect as well, and at least being present at times and walking around and showing yourself. And it just, again, I don't know this, but it just seems like reading, you know, the quotes that we saw in the piece from Ryan Divish, I mean, it just doesn't seem like there's a relationship there at all, which again, you know, different GMs handle it their own way. There was a story that was told earlier today on MLB Central that Mark DeRosa was talking about the GM when he was with the Atlanta Braves, and now I'm blanking on his name. But the point was, he didn't talk to anyone. Like, there was no relationship at all. And now, did that impact him at all? Well, no, they won all the time. But he didn't want to have that relationship with the players, because eventually he would have to either cut them, trade them, whatever, have difficult conversations about contracts. So I understand that, but I'm just, this is one of those scenarios where, can you lose a clubhouse And can it affect you moving on in a negative way? And all this momentum that you built up in the last 2 months, does it go down? Because do players react differently? And then all of a sudden, it just they can't get out of this funk. I mean, that's got to be a real worry.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know, to your point, there have been GMs that you know have no relationship and have their assistants do all the dirty work and everything and don't talk to players and just treat them, you know, as names and commodities and don't get invested because you're right. It does get hard to, you know, move players and have them move their families and uproot them and stuff like that. So some GMs keep their distance. Some do things differently. And the clubhouse being upset, you know, that's kind of I think everybody kind of had the knee-jerk reaction where it was like, you know, why? It doesn't make sense because it wasn't explained to them. But again, over the next couple of days, you hope that they kind of understand. And I give them a lot of credit, too, Puck, because, I mean, they were down again. What was it? 8-2
last night. Came back again.
Yeah. And you come back and almost, I mean, they had a winning run at the plate in the ninth inning. It's like it shows, you know, a lot of resolve. And it's very impressive, especially a day where, I mean, they were down, no doubt. I mean, you know, you heard about guys with tears in their eyes. Graveman was crying, talking to the media. It was an emotional day for them. They were upset. And for them to come out and get down again and claw their way back, you know, against Houston, you know, I think it speaks a lot about the team. And you hope that it's not a negative going forward. I don't think it will be. I mean, I know it hit them hard yesterday, but I don't think it'll be a negative going forward. They've got this game. And then they've got a tough road trip. Texas is bad, yes, but then you got Tampa and New York, and New York's a team right behind you in the wild card. It's a four gamer in New York. It's like they've got to figure things out quick and not have the season go south on them.
Jason Stark, who covers baseball for a very long time, you know, long time ESPN. Now he's with the Athletic. Had reporter tweeted out a few hours ago. Teams talking to the Mariners say they are now much more in a buy than sell mode, trying to add starters, relievers, and an impact bat, saying no on moving Mitch Haniger and no interest in flipping Abraham Toro, who just arrived yesterday. Impact bat. Do you think, when I hear that, I mean, you got to then trade a pretty high prospect if we're getting an impact bat. Are they Correct. Now going to move on from one of their prospects that they have told everyone that they're not willing to make any sacrifices towards the future in the trading deadline? And I'm wondering, with the fallout of this deal, has it put any pressure on them to try and overreact to do something that they did not want to do heading into this trade deadline?
Well, I think it's good that they said they're not going to try to move Mitch Haniger. I think that would cause a revolt in the clubhouse with Haniger and Graveman being two big leaders, and obviously already lost Graveman. It's good to hear that they want to stick with Mitch. Impact bat, I would guess with Toro there being probably your third baseman next year. You know, if you don't bring Singer back, the impact bat is going to be in the outfield. You know, it's probably a right-handed bat. I'm thinking left field, but I don't know.
And then what's the price? I mean, you just saw what the A's gave up. I mean, the A's gave up a guy that 2 years ago was their number one prospect in the organization for Starling Marte, who's a rental and a free agent at the end of the year. It's a steep price they're going to have to pay for, quote, an impact bat.
Yes, and you're right. And if they do pay a steep price, it's not going to be for a rental. It's going to be for a guy who is under control for 2 or 3 years, you know, like Toro is. I mean, Jerry's really big on building for next year and beyond. So if he makes a play for a big bat, it's going to be probably either a younger guy who's got club control or a guy who's got a contract that's somewhat affordable. And you're right, then the price is going to be steeper. I think probably, you know, a guy like Whit Merrifield would still be in play, although I wouldn't call him an impact bat.
No.
But I think he's a type of guy that they would add and like. But an impact, that would be...
I mean, Trey Turner's an impact bat to me. But I don't know. I mean, is he outfield?
But what do you do with him? Yeah.
Well, I mean, he plays shortstop. I mean, can he play second? I mean, do you play him at second and keep Crawford short and then flip him in the offseason? I don't know. I mean, that's...
I don't know either. But you've seen what the Padres have done with Adam Frazier, who's a second baseman. They played him in left field last night, so they're going to play him in the outfield. So... You know, these guys can be moved around. And you know, Jerry probably has a list of untradeables. You know, maybe it's four, maybe it's five. Beyond that, maybe he's willing to move some of these guys. You know, they've got, you know, three of the top 14 prospects, you know, so they've certainly got capital to move. And it'd just be, you know, depending on the bat and what Jerry's willing to do. And I don't know, to get back to your other point about having pressure to add, I would think that, you know, this is all just part of the plan. You know, step one, there's going to be step two, get Anderson, another pitcher. Maybe step three, get that closer. Step four, get the bat. You know, so it all kind of domino effect. And hopefully by Friday, you know, we all see what the plan was.
Brad Adam with us for a few more minutes here, discussing the Mariners here, Root Sports, all brought to you by John Howie Steak. The Tyler Anderson deal just seems like, you know, a guy you got to plug in. I mean, they weren't going to, it's hard to find, you know, some type of impact starter. You at least acquire a guy that started 18 games and is, you know, the resume of at least pitching at least five innings and every start's good. It just gives them some depth. I mean, I don't think it's going to wow anyone, but certainly a guy that they right. can at least plug into the rotation.
Yes, and Server said today he'll pitch one of the games in Texas. He's a, you know, a lefty, changeup is his best pitch, doesn't throw hard, kind of like a Jamie Moyer, good athlete from University of Oregon, so Northwest guy, which is cool to see. But you're right, he's consistent, and he gives them another starter that can give you innings. As we're seeing some shorter outings, the pen continues to get taxed. You know, with Flexen only going four last night. With four starters, it's really hard, even with these off days, to try to rely on these guys. So the fifth starter was crucial. And to get somebody who's, you know, who's been around, you know, 5-6 years, knows how to pitch, knows how to get deep into games, and you know, is a rental type of guy, which you did not have to give up a whole lot, just two prospects, minor league catcher and a pitcher, to get, and someone who's going to really help your team going forward just by, you know, being a guy you can count on to get you those 5-6 innings. And that five spot, that's really good for a fifth guy in the rotation to be that consistent and that durable. That's going to really help them the rest of the season.
Who's untouchable at Root Sports?
Well, that's a good question. Who would we trade?
Who's untouchable, though? I mean, like just the manager there saying, yeah, no, that this person's untouchable. Angie?
You probably Ange, yeah. Everybody loves Ange.
Am I putting you in an uncomfortable Ange. Position right now?
No. I
okay,
understand.
Who's the player to be named hey, later Puck, from your group?
Hey, Puck, it's a business, Puck. If they have
yes.
to move me, I understand. Nothing personal, right? I would hope that there'd be outrage, like, you know.
Oh, I
deal.
When I
get traded. Tears,
I think people would revolt.
People.
I only tune in to see you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. They're happy that Angie's still here, but then upset. Yeah, I like that.
I mean, back in the day, it was you and the Wonger.
Oh, the Wonger. He might be the player to be named later.
Bring him back.
I love Cameron. So, some people know who we're talking about.
There's a few out there. We got some old-timers yeah. here. We got some old-timers that...
Yeah. We've had some buttes on this air, haven't we?
We certainly have. Well, let's see if they can go out there today and get a victory, and it certainly would be it'd be aided. You know, it just would be something that would aid them moving forward and just, like, feeling
for
a little
sure.
bit better. They're playing some great baseball and obviously maybe getting over the sting of what happened yesterday. We'll see if Graveman gets in the game tonight, too. Wouldn't that be something? Just gets in the game.
I would think he has to. I mean, Presley pitched last night. I don't know if he could go. I mean, if there's, like,
shoves
a safe
down,
situation.
Yeah.
Got to be Graveman. And Toro in the lineup today for the Mariners. It's right. second.
And I feel bad for Abraham
so
Toro, man.
Really, right? Comes over and everybody's crying, mad at him. Just not talking to him.
It's just like, it feels so bad. Like, I did feel happy for him last night when he hit the home run.
That was good.
Now,
they call him
now,
Graveman, right?
Now, I wonder if the right fielder helped him out.
Oh, my gosh, Tucker, that was about a 10% effort. I mean, he didn't even try.
I'm telling right? you. I'm a weird person. It literally was the first thing I thought of. Did the right fielder help out his friend to hit a home run?
Yep, right? Thinking, now we could still win. We'll just give him this.
We're going to win, yeah. but I'm going to just like, yeah. oops, off my glove.
Yeah, did you see Presley's reaction? He was like,
yeah.
upset. Like, are you kidding me, dude?
Like, really? Can you make it more obvious that we're trying to make him feel good about himself? You know, you're seeing the right field and Toro out later that night, you know, having cocktails. Yeah. All right, enjoy it. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
There is Brad Adam, Root Sports. All brought to you by John Howie Steak. Go visit them on their restaurant. All the restaurants are open, johnhowiesteak.com. He's open for business, the Beardsley Public House, John Howie Steak, C-Star, all of it. He's got still the curbside boxes, dinners to go, all of it there at johnhowiesteak.com. There's literally too much for me to break down all of it because everything is there for you if you just go visit John Howie Steak, johnhowiesteak.com. All right, Seahawks open up training camp today, which is just amazing. You think about this. How much the Mariners have stolen the headlines today. The Seahawks open up training camp today. We've got that storyline. We've got more fallout of the Mariners. I would just ask the simple question. How do you feel? How do you feel with what they did yesterday? Coors Light text line's open for you. Keeping Seattle chill.